lesson. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 64, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, I lift my soul to thee. O my God, I trust thy might. Let not foes exult o'er me, shame me not before their sight. 1, 2, and 3 of 64.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the book of Psalms, and there of Psalm 110. But before that, we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 110, a psalm of David. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer Arianna Briwech, who is doing well after surgery at the Children's Hospital in Calgary to drain swollen lymph glands. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, remember her. As she is young, as she is sick, as she experiences already the consequences, the evils that have come upon us because of our sins, and that thou may bless the efforts of the doctors, and may thou heal her body. But wilt thou show to her the cause? For it is the cause of all our sicknesses, and that is our own sins, and that she in her young life may come to mourn her sins, that she may come to confess them before thee, with father and mother and family together, and all of us together. Remember them, remember her friends, and they are also young. Their friend is sick. Give them a place also for her on their knees. Teach them all to pray. And wilt thou teach them also how frail that our young life is, and that it may be used by thy Spirit to convince of sin while they are young and while their hearts are tender. And that thou may give the love of thee in their young hearts, and that they may desire thee, that they may long for thee, We read it of thy servant in thy word, and it can be also in our youth that it is the same as the heart panteth for the water brooks. So panteth my soul after thee, O Lord. Lord, give that thirst for thee. And the living God in the heart of them, in the heart of each and every one of us. We are in thy house. It is thy holy day. And thy word is to go forth when thou wilt give it. And we are by nature without spiritual life, and without spiritual desire. And all our religion is form and custom, and though it be so good, it is not enough. Lord, then we need a new heart, whether we are young or whether we are old, that we may this day beseech it of thee. And when we are sitting in our seats, when we are standing in our offices, oh, that we may be given a yearning in these moments. When we are separated physically from all that is in the world this day, as thou dost command us, thou shalt do no labor. Oh, separate us also in our hearts, in our minds, that we may have spiritual desires born in our hearts. After God, after thee, O God, the true God, the living God, the God of Jacob, the God of Israel. They do fear, thou didst say, fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Oh, that there may be such desires, such needs found among us also in this Advent season. For it is in the life of thy own people that thou wilt give a desire, a love for thee. To say he is altogether lovely, but we do not all see it. It needs to be opened unto us for the first time, and also by renewal. Our hearts need to be drawn. And Lord, that all belongs to thee. It is all of thy spirit. In us dwelleth no good thing, not before, not after that new birth, except what thou givest in our hearts and what thou givest in exercise. O Lord, we beseech it of thee then. Glorify thy name, magnify thy name in the hearts of both young and old this Sabbath day, in this hour. And thou dost say, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, and thy service, oh, that will be felt to be a blessed service when thou art in the midst of us, and when thou goest forth with thy word, and when thou bringest it into our hearts with power, and when thou art feelingly and believingly in the hearts of thy children, and when there is that cloud to enter into thy temple, that it may be experienced and that the Lord is among us, and that he goes forth from heart to heart to work irresistibly and for the glory of thy name, for the bringing in of thy church, for the salvation of the poor, for the instruction of the ignorant, for the forgiveness of the guilty, for the renewing of the corrupted and the polluted, that all things may be taken care of by thee. Lord, it all must come from thee. Oh, take us then by heart and by hand this day, this hour, And when we are together round about thy holy word of truth, and care thou for all the natural needs, they are also known to thee. They have been laid before thee. Also in this morning hour, we lay them before thee once again. For thou knowest the weak, thou knowest the poor, thou knowest those that mourn, those that have cares and difficulties, where there is trouble, husbands, wives, children, oh, what the fall has brought amongst us. And Lord, that we may be given then a cry to the Lord of hosts, thou who hast redeemed thy people, and thou who hast taken away the cause of all that misery. Oh, thou art able to also blunt it, and thou art able to be present in the midst of it. Thou art able to make to taste the little honey on the end of the rod. Then it is all good. Then it is all for thy glory, for the welfare of our souls. Then we will thank thee for it one day. But when we are in the midst of it, Lord, then we think we cannot bear it. And then we say, Lord, remove it from me. Oh, Lord, that thou may uphold under it and do what thou seest best to do. And wilt thou be amongst us. Remember all thy truly sent servants. Increase their numbers. Help the student, the teachers, the missionaries, and all that are about them. And care for all that rule and reign over us. Help them in their labors. Remember our school principals, teachers, students, bus drivers, and all connected therein, the school board, Lord. Bless it, oh, bless it for our children. And that thou may thyself receive the glory one day, when they may be given to testify what thou hast done amidst all our shortcomings, amongst all our weaknesses. Give also that prosperity that is necessary for us as members. When the fathers do labor in the midst of this world, that they may be able to support their houses, but also to give something to the poor and to support all these causes. For thou knowest how that Satan does fight against them all to bring them all into the grave. But Lord, thou hast the cattle upon 1,000 hills, and thou art able to open hearts also, so that there is desire to use all thy gifts for all thy service. And remember us then in this hour. Help us to bring thy word. And give us liberty, give us wisdom, give us clarity, give us thy spirit. And go before us, forgiving all that is amiss and sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offerings are being received, we'll sing from Psalter 266 all the stanzas. God is King forever. Let the nations tremble, throned above the cherubim, by all the earth adored. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 266. And we announce once again at the male members meeting, Elder Kreft was reelected to the office of elder. Anyone having lawful objections to his reinstallation may bring them to the attention of the consistory by December 20th of this month. Psalter 266, all the stanzas. beloved congregation, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing." You say, what then is my knowledge? What then is my faith? To understand all mysteries, to be able to move mountains, that it means that that knowledge and that faith is not a saving knowledge. It is not a saving faith. That is a faith and a knowledge which is of a different nature than saving. And how may we know that? Well, that is exposed. The nature of that knowledge, the nature of that faith is exposed by the lack of something else. It is exposed, it is made manifest by the lack of another essential mark: charity, love. And when that is not there, well, the other cannot be of a saving nature. Why now does Christ have three offices? Children know that, right? Prophet, priest, and king. Why three? Why not just two offices? Well, those offices are all for his people. Are they for you too, children? Do you say, Lord, that it may be also for me? But all those three offices are for all of his children. But they are for all the needs of his children. There are many needs. Do you have them too? The prophetical office, what was that for? We remember that is for their ignorance. Do you have that need? That was for their lack of knowledge. They need to be taught. They say, oh Lord, teach me because I do not know thee. So they need that prophetical office. That is often the first in the life of that people. That they need that prophetical office, that teaching of the Lord, that they feel their ignorance. And then they will find out also when time goes on that they cannot overcome sin. You ever find that out? That sin has become your enemy? That you say, sin has become too strong for me. And then what do they need? Oh, they begin to need him in his kingly office because he is stronger than sin. And he can overcome that enemy for me. And now finally, they will still miss something else. Why? Because they have guilt. Guilt. And that prophetical office and that kingly office do not address, that does not take care for them of their guilt. Do you ever feel that? That you also need your sin to be forgiven you? David felt that, and the Lord revealed to him how that could be. Psalm 110, verses 3 and 4 is our text for this afternoon. Psalm 110, verses 3 and 4. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. and the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So far the words of our text. The promise of an eternal priesthood. First, of a great company of willing priests. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. A great company of willing priests. Second, of the great and eternal high priest. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Thus the promise of an eternal priesthood, first, of a great company of willing priests, and second, of the great and eternal high priest. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And what does this follow here? We heard it. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Thus, what was that? Remember that, children? The rod of thy strength, that is the scepter of thy strength. He's talking about the gospel, the New Testament gospel. Is that going to be weak? No, that is going to be very, very strong. The Lord will conquer his people, his elect, with that gospel, and it will be an irresistible grace. How will he do that then? Will he then take his people and force them into the kingdom of God? No, he will not do that. He does not force anyone. What does it say? He says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. So what is he going to do? He is going to work irresistibly upon the will of his people. He is going to affect their will. He is going to renew their will that has been affected, greatly affected after the fall. That is something to be able to affect a person's will. Can you do that? Fathers, mothers, can you affect? You would like to do that sometimes, right? With our children. You find out when your children become a little older that they have their own will. And then sometimes you say, oh, if I could only change their will. You say, I cannot do that. And you will use all the power and all the instruments that you have at your disposal to try to change the will of another person. Maybe you try to do that to your father and mother, boys and girls. So I wish I could change their will. Did you ever wish you could change your own will? You ever wish you could change your own will? Because to change the will of a person takes a very, very great power. And that is now the power that the Lord is speaking about unto David. When he reveals this, when he speaks this revelation unto David, then he is speaking about a very, very great power that he is going to use to change the will of persons. So, willingness. What a great thing is willingness. Now, that is one of the essential marks. One of the essential marks of the new life, of true saving faith, that new will. You can read about that in the Canons of Dort. Look that up. young people. When you read about regeneration, what regeneration is, and how the Spirit of the Lord is working upon the will of a man. You have to obey your mother and your father. When your will is different, then you say, I have to obey them, and I hope you do. I hope you do. You remember that that is the first commandment with the promise. But you know, if you may do that with a willing heart, it makes all the difference, doesn't it? With a submissive heart, to say, O Lord, Thou hast given me this my father and this my mother. Oh, wilt Thou also give me a will that is one with their will, that I may obey them not only with my hands and with my feet, but with I may obey my mother and father in my heart. A willing people. You know what it says here? It says, Thy people shall be willing. Actually, it says, Thy people shall be very willing. It says, they shall be full of willingness. Is that not a blessed thing? Because there are people in the world that grieve that their heart is not as willing as it ought to be. You know, we pray, the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we pray that sometimes, maybe some of us, we will use that Lord's Prayer. But how do we use it? We say that with our mouth. Do we mean that in our heart? Thy will be done. Because when our will is against the will of the Lord, then there is something in us that is fighting. That is not peace. That is not rest, and that people feel that. And then in their heart they say, Oh Lord, could I just be made willing? Oh, could my heart be so one with Thy way, whatever Thy way is, that there may be peace in my heart because of willingness. And now it speaks about the willingness in the day of Thy power. And then they read that and they say, I am so glad of that. In the day of Thy power. Because they feel that. They say, it isn't in my power. I cannot do it. I cannot change my own will. But the Lord can change my will. And He can make it so peaceful. He can give such a rest in my heart. And then they begin to pray. They begin to pray. Do you then pray? You may do that. You ought to do that. Oh, then we may bend our knees and say, Lord, Thy people, Thou hast a willing people in the day of Thy power. Wilt Thou make me willing too? Oh, the Lord will answer such a prayer. Such a prayer is to His honor. Such a prayer is to His glory. But now what is that willingness about here? It says, Thy people shall be willing in the day of Thy power. What is it about? Well, we have heard that it is about the king. It is about the service of the king. That is what David has been speaking about. So to serve that king with submission, with a heartfelt submission, with a heartfelt obedience. But there is now a new idea that is here introduced. What do we read? We read, Thy people shall be willing in the day of Thy power, in the beauties of holiness. So what is that? Well, that is a reference to the garments of the priests. Because the priests, they had special garments, garments that no one else was allowed to wear. And those garments were purposely made to be very, very beautiful. They had beautiful ornaments on those garments. These garments were to be worn when they were in that service of the Lord, in the work of the Lord, in His sanctuary, in His tabernacle. And now we read here that there are several connections being made. So first of all, we read about a connection here between the kingdom, because we heard about the kingdom last week, and the priesthood. Thus, this service of these subjects of the king, that is to be a priestly service. Now, what does a priest do? Our children can answer that question. Children, what does a priest do? He sacrifices. That is one of the main things. Okay, so what is now to be the work of these priests? Well, that is to sacrifice, say a lamb. No, that is to give themselves, to give their whole life, their whole being, their arms, their legs, their mind, their soul, their heart, everything that is to be sacrificed unto the Lord. Who knows about that? Who knows about that? Because that is now what the power of the Spirit does. That is now what happens in regeneration. When the Lord plants the love of Him in our heart. And then we, with all our heart, we want to give ourselves. Or when we feel something of the worthiness of the Lord and the Lord's service, then we say, I want with every part of my being to give my life, my whole being, back unto the Lord. That is the way we were created. That is the way we were created. But here is actually even more. Why? Because now, in the giving of ourselves unto the Lord, that is done in a way of gratitude. Thus, there is nothing in all that giving of any glory that goes unto a man. You see how the Lord will get His glory? That will not go unto any man, any one of His people. But the desire is to give all that glory back unto Him. So the first connection. There is a connection between the kingly here and the priestly office. It is the service, as we serve a king, but the priestly part, that is to give our whole life, that is to give our whole being, that is to give our whole soul to the Lord. There is now a second connection. What is that? We read in the beauties of holiness. So now, there is a connection between that priestly service, and it is being connected to something that is very beautiful. Thus, beautiful garments in the beauties of holiness. And of course, if it is connected to something very beautiful in the eyes of a man, well, that draws a man, that draws his heart. Thus, it is connected also to the willingness, how the Lord is going to make His people willing. Thus, how does He do that? Well, He regenerates their hearts. He gives them a new heart. And when he gives them a new heart, then they begin to see the service of the Lord is very beautiful. Did you ever see that? Or there are some of them, they say, I would like to be a minister. I would like to be an elder. I would like to be a deacon. I would like to be even a custodian in the house of the Lord. Oh, I would like to be so connected to that service of the Lord. Why? Oh, they see beauty. And that beauty of that service of the Lord, that is so desirable. Do you think, children, then your mother and young people, you say, well, you have to go to church? No, you don't have to say that anymore. Why? Because my heart that is longing to be there, because I see a beauty in that, in the beauties of holiness. And now what is holiness? What is holiness? Holiness, that is to be separated for a sacred purpose. So holiness is not righteousness. To be one with the law, it is to be sacred, it is to be devoted, it is to be separated from everything, that we may be joined unto God, that we may be joined unto the service of the Lord. The beauties of holiness. That is now their new opinion. Their new opinion of the Lord and His service. What is your opinion of that today? You say, I like to be separated from the church because I want to do this or that and that and that in the world. That is what we are by nature. And now when the Lord is coming, oh, He gives to see such a beauty in that service, the service of the Lord. Then they say, I want to be separated. Oh, I want to be, that is far away. Oh, then I delight in the day of the Lord. I delight to read the word of the Lord, to listen to the word of the Lord, that holiness, in the beauties of holiness. No, they say to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded, that is life, and that is peace. Thus we speak about a priest. And what is a priest? Ah, you say a priest, he is a one who draws nigh unto God. Yeah, the priests in the tabernacle, the temple, then they were working on behalf of the people. They drew nigh. And then especially that high priest, he went the closest unto God, and that was on behalf of those people. Thus, then we do not speak here about the ministry and the priesthood, but we speak actually what they call the priesthood of all believers. Every one of His people drawing nigh unto God, the remnant. The remnant of the Lord. They offer up spiritual sacrifices, their soul, their body, their affections, their supplications, their praises unto the Lord. It is a spiritual employment. It is a spiritual enjoyment in the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. So it speaks now about a womb. It speaks now about a birth. It speaks about the morning. What happens in the morning? In the morning, the sun is arising. Things are appearing to us. Speaks here about the dew. And the dew that is laying in the grass there in the morning. And then you can see on the tips of all the grass an individual little drop, perhaps, of dew, a great multitude of little drops. Well, what are we reading about here? We are reading about here the beginning of the gospel day. Well, then it is speaking about the time when that gospel is going to come. And when the Lord is going to send forth the scepter of His strength out of Zion. And then it says there is going to be a multitude of new subjects. They are just going to appear. They are going to appear even as the multitude of the little droplets of the dew are appearing upon the grass. That happens suddenly. But that happens so softly. Does not happen with great commotion. But that work of the Lord that is, as it were, imperceivable in each heart. But then there is a great power that is experienced because there is no man that is able to bring forth the dew. That is a work of great power. Thus, this work, when that gospel will begin to go forth in this morning as a new day, it is going to be as from the womb. It is going to be as a birth from the womb of the morning, from the dawning of the day, the beginning of a new day. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But there is also something else here. Then it includes an intimation of youthfulness, the vigor of youth. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. Though we have so many of them here. The strength of their days, the days of their youth. But remember, young people, that we can be in a moment in the hospital, right? But that is what our life is. Eh? That is the beginning of our life. And in the beginning of your life, then there is great zeal. Then there is great courage. It is not dampened. It is not weakened by the great consequences of sin. And the multitude of those consequences that are breaking down the mind, breaking down the body, breaking down the spirit. Oh, in youth there is expectation. In youth there is hope. Hope for what? That is the hope for the future. Oh, here we hear about the dawning of this new day. And that is what it will bring now for that waiting church. The church that is thirsting, the church that is looking for it. Then is going to be the evident, the manifest fruit of the beginning of this gospel day, when the power of His strength, the power of His scepter is sent forth out of Zion. Oh, then the mourners in Zion, they are going to be made so glad. Why? Oh, because they have no power. They have no power to separate themselves. They have no power to be holy. No power over holiness. Their heart, their life that is carnal, they desire that that carnal heart could be ripped out of their heart, that they could be made a spiritual people. Oh, the beauties of holiness, the beauties of holiness, the beauties of separation, the beauty of dedication. Oh, they will rejoice in this. This is their desire. That is a little bit of heaven. Oh, what shall it be one day for that people when all the carnality, everything is taken away, and when it is all spiritual? Oh, then it is a new life for those people. When they can see the King in His beauty, and they shall become separated again, completely separated from everything that takes away from this holiness. Or the time of the gospel will not be as the time of the Old Testament. He says here there will be a great multitude, and that great multitude will be brought into his kingdom as a kingdom of priests. They are to be born again, and they are to be dedicated in their heart unto that king. John saw the armies in heaven, and they were following after Christ. He is called the Word of God. They are following those great armies. They are following on white horses. And they are following clothed, we read, in fine linen, clean and white. Going in a way of righteousness, following him in a way of holiness. Not just office bearers, no. Each one an office bearer. Each one a priest, not to have to go to the Pope in order to approach unto God. No, they are following that word of God himself. They are following after Christ himself. Oh, and their hearts, they are following after him. And it is through him alone that their heart may draw near unto God. And they are set apart. Set apart in holiness. They are in the world yet, yes, but they are not of the world. And their heart is so willing to serve that king, desirous to serve that king who said, "My kingdom is not of this world." No, it is a spiritual kingdom. So David, he makes a connection. The Lord reveals these connections to David between the kingship and the priesthood, that it is a kingdom of priests dedicated with love to those spiritual things. And that brings us to our second thought, the great and eternal high priest. But we will sing first from 199, all the stanzas. His saints shall live, and to the king rich gifts in tribute shall be paid. His praises men shall ever sing, for him shall endless prayer be made. 1 through 5 of 199.
Thank you.
In the order of Aaron, there were not only priests, there was also an high priest. Thus, the high priest was the leader of all the other priests. He was the special representative of the people unto God. And now the Lord reveals here unto David this kingdom of priests, but he also speaks to him of the high priest. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Who is he speaking about? He is speaking still concerning the same person that is who he was addressing before. We heard that was David's Lord. The Lord said unto my Lord. And we heard that was the king. Jehovah had given unto him the kingship. Sit thou on my right hand. Thus we see here now the continuation, but also now it goes higher, higher. It is, as it were, a culmination of this connection between the kingdom and the priesthood in this man who was to be both a king and a priest. Those two offices were not supposed to be confused in Israel. We know King Uzziah, right, children? He wanted to go into the temple and he wanted to burn incense unto the Lord. And then there was leprosy rising up in his forehead. And he was told by the Lord's servant, you have to go out because you are the king, but you are not the priest. And they were not allowed to mix up those two offices in Israel. But Paul speaks to the Hebrews about this order of Aaron, so of the Levites, the Levitical priesthood. And he says that order of Aaron was not to continue forever. That was only going to be for a certain time. That is in the Old Testament. And the very dying of the priest, the fact that one died and another came, and so there had to be a succession of priests in order for the priesthood to continue. He says that is in itself a symbol, a picture, as it were, that whole order of priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, is going to have an end. It is going to pass away. Christ, say he is a priest, and then he must be a Levite. No, you see, he is not born of the tribe of Levi, but he is to come out of the tribe of Judah. So the priesthood of Christ is going to be completely different. It is going to be a completely different order than the order of Levi, the order of Aaron. So what order will this be after? He says here, it shall be after the order of Melchizedek. So now, who is Melchizedek shortly? He was the king of Salem, something that was actually a name for Jerusalem, the time of Abraham. But he was not only the king, he was also the priest. So he was functioning in both of those offices at the same time. We do not know so much about Melchizedek. We don't know who his parents were. We do not know who his children were. He appears suddenly on the scene, and just as quickly as he appears on the scene, he is disappearing from the scene. We do read that he met Abraham. May Abraham is returning from the slaughter, from the battle, and he meets Melchizedek. And Abraham gives to Melchizedek this part of the spoils. From the battle, he has won that victory, and he is giving to him 1/10 of all what he has gotten in his victories. We read that it was the tithe, that means one-tenth, that he gave to Melchizedek. Well, the tithe, that was later to be given to who? That was later to be given to the Levites, had to be given to the priests. They needed to be supported. And just like the ministers today, you support us and you support all the causes of the church. Well, that was the same with the tithe at that time. And that was given unto the tribe of Levi. But Levi was not born yet. He was not born yet, because he was the son of Jacob. But we speak here about the time of Abraham. So where was Levi then, boys and girls? You say he was in the loins. The Bible says he was in the loins of Abraham. He was not yet born. And Abraham is giving the tithe. So Levi is actually inside, in the loins of Abraham. And he is giving the tithe to Melchizedek. Later on, they will be given to him. And then what do we read? We read Melchizedek blesses. Whose work is it to bless? Well, that was the work of the priest. He blesses Abraham. And Levi is where? Oh, he's in his loins yet. So Melchizedek, as a priest, is blessing, as it were, the Levites. Say it should be just the other way around. No. Here, this is the Lord's doing. So Paul, he is trying to show how that the order of Melchizedek that was superior to the order of Aaron, and that it was actually a type of Christ in the multiplicity of his offices, because Melchizedek had not just one office, but he had two offices. And Christ, he has three offices. That is revealed already here to David. We read, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Forever. Why does that say forever? How do we get forever out of the order of Melchizedek? Well, that was foreshadowed in Melchizedek. Two ways. Why? Because we don't know anything about where he came from, and we don't know anything about where he went. He only appears in that time. So it is just as if there is no beginning to Melchizedek. It's not true, of course, but that's what we see. And there is no ending to him. And that is the manner in which he is a type of Christ, that he is to be a priest forever. That is, there is no beginning to him. There is no beginning to his priesthood. He was always a priest. When was he anointed a priest? He was anointed a priest already in eternity. And when shall the work of priest be done? Never. Never. That is now what makes him different than this Levitical priesthood. He always was, he is, and he always shall remain a priest for his church. No beginning. No end. It did not start in his incarnation. He did not become a priest when he became a man. No, that was begun in eternity. Now, part of that work of priesthood had to be done in the time. Part of that work had to, for part of that work, he had to be incarnated. He had to come in the time. He had to become a man. What part was that? That was the part to sacrifice. To sacrifice himself as the Lamb of God. Thus, in that work of the priesthood of Christ, there is also that prophecy of the coming of Christ in the flesh, that he may do that part of that work which was necessary to be done in the flesh. And then the rest, well, oh, he continues to do. And what does he do? He prays. He intercedes for his church, not only in the flesh, not only in the time, but also in eternity. Thus, the Lord hath sworn and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So that is a very remarkable thing. Because it says here, the Lord hath sworn. Is it needful for the Lord to swear? Why do we swear? I mean, we hope you do not commonly swear when we speak about it in that way. But sometimes we have to swear an oath when we come into a court, that we swear before God that we will tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Serious thing. Very serious thing. Oh, let us be careful that we never commit perjury. The Lord sees that. It is to take the name of the Lord in vain. Does the Lord need to swear? You say he does not need to swear. Because he always tells the truth. You do that too, right, boys and girls? You always tell the truth? Hope so. There is never that the Lord says a lie. So you say, well, then he does not need to swear an oath. Well, that is really so. Really so. He does not do that for his sake. He does that for the sake of his people. Because the swearing of an oath by God is, as it were, a seal. A seal. What is a seal? You have that on your birth certificate, children. You can ask your mother, can I see my birth certificate? Well, maybe they did it a little different today. But there is a certain seal, used to be just a raised part, and that showed the authenticity that is owned, that is the only one, that is the real one. A seal. And when the Lord swears an oath, then he gives to his church a seal, a witness. And if the Lord will do that, then we say, well, this must be something that has a very, very great importance. And that is so. For the sake of his church. Because this, what the Lord is swearing here, is sitting as a foundation for the salvation of his people. That faith may rest on this. That it may not tremble when it is resting on this solid rock. It is sealed, it is sworn by God with an oath, who does not need to swear. Now, what is that about? God has anointed Christ with three offices. Did he need to do that? There is nothing that we would say forced God that he must do it. If you sin, must he punish you? Say, yeah, it has to be. Why? Because he is righteous. And when a person does not sin, then as righteous judge, he must be acquitted. God is, as it were, forced by his own character, by his own being. is the Lord forced by his character, by his being, by his attributes to anoint Christ to his three offices? No. This is something that comes purely out of the good pleasure of God. He did not need to do it. He only anointed him to these offices because it pleased him, for the sake of his people. And now the Father swears with an oath that he will never take that back. Never. There are other things he cannot. He cannot because of his character. You say, well, this he could. But he cannot now anymore. Why not? Because he has sworn it. He has sworn it with an oath, and he has sealed it unto his own people. The high priest appeared before God in the place of and for the sake of a people who could not appear before God. Can we appear before God? No. Why not? Why not? Because of guilt. Because of guilt. David knew that. David felt that. David had no answer. Nathan stood, "Thou art the man." What can David say? One thing, I have sinned against the Lord. That is where we need to come. David came there. How did David come there? Could David bring himself there? 9 months, he could not bring himself there. God brought him there. And that is where the Lord has to bring us. I have sinned against the Lord. You say, does not the Lord sometimes bring a person in that same place and it is not actually a saving confession? Indeed. Think of Judas. He said he also had sinned against innocent blood. How was it exposed? How do we know that it was not a saving repentance? It was not a saving confession? Because he despaired. Because he despaired. That is how we know. Before that, we would not know. That can be said by two persons. It can be said by David. It can be said by Judas. But that comes out later. Oh, he was never brought to himself. He was never brought to the foot of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that was so different with David. Oh, he said, Lord, have mercy, mercy upon me, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy mercies. Oh, the Lord showed him that. He complained to the Lord, I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Congregation, where do we need to come? We need to be brought as a sinner before God unto the wicked gate. Unto the wicked gate. If we never come to that wicked gate, if that is never revealed to us there by Sinai, we cannot be saved. That publican came into the house, the temple of the Lord. How did we come into the temple of the Lord? What did he need? He needed the priestly office. The priestly office of Christ. Because he had guilt. Not according to the order of Aaron. That was all there. That was not enough. But he needed the priesthood that was according to that order of Melchizedek. You know what we read about that man? He went down to his house justified. Justified. What is justification? That is the imputation. You can ask our young people. It is the imputation of the sin of the people upon the account of Christ. That is done by a judge. And it is the imputation of the righteousness of Christ upon the account of his people. Then they are shown by that judge to be right with the law. Does God have to do that? Is there anything in the character, in the attributes, in the nature of God which, as it were, forces him to impute the sin of his people unto the account of Christ and to impute the righteousness of Christ unto the account of his people? Is there anything in God that forces him to do that? Nothing. Where does it come from? All out of his good pleasure. Because he desires to do it. It has all been based on that good pleasure. And he swears with an oath. With an oath that he will never, never, never bring to an end the priesthood of his only begotten Son. That he is going to continue to all eternity in the time to the end of the world. Why does he say that? Why does he swear it? Not for his own sake, but for the sake of his fearing people. Then he says to them, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" To think that it is not possible that my sin would be forgiven. O congregation, the offices of Christ, they are threefold. He is anointed by his Father, both appointed and qualified. It was revealed so long ago by the Lord, by the Spirit of the Lord unto David. This is what his people needed in that time. This is what his people need even today. Everything. Everything that people need. All provided by God himself. A prophet to give them that knowledge of him whom to know is life eternal. A king to destroy sin that they cannot destroy. And a priest that everything that they have done and what they are may be forgiven. Oh, is there now anything in your heart that goes out after that high priest? Is there now a willingness? Does the Lord put that in your heart to make you as one of that army that army of priests who has a desire to do as we were created to do, to be separated. To be separated from everything that is here below. And to serve Him. In my soul, in my body, forever and forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, humble us under thy goodness. Bring thy word with power in our hearts to affect us, to affect our will, to renew our will. Show us the beauty of holiness, to be separated. And when we have it not, give us to separate ourselves with a cry to thee for that separation. To forgive as our high priest all our sins. Wash us and cleanse us in thy blood. Renew our hearts by thy spirit. Give us the victory over sin and give us that blessed knowledge of thee. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Forgiving all that is amiss and helping us in the week to come, in the labors of our hands, each one in our place. For Jesus' sake, amen. 446, 2, 3, and 4. If thou shouldst mark transgression, O Lord, who then could stand? For evil and oppression are found on every hand. But thou dost pardon fully all our iniquity, that we may serve thee truly and fear thy majesty. 2, 3, and 4 of 446. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.